title of the message this morning is Overflow. We overflow. We have the ability to overflow. And it ties in with several messages that Pastor Phil has given through the years. One was when he was had a series on digging wells, dig deep. Another series, he talked about this when a series called Available. And I'm actually using the scripture he mentioned about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, in a message he presented. I grew up in a little town called Americus, Georgia. Some of y'all have heard that before. But about 40 miles south of us in the city of Albany, we would go every now and then when I was a kid. And at the intersection of downtown Albany, right there in the middle of the intersection of Jefferson Street and Broad Avenue, was an artesian well. And it was bricked in, and it was free-flowing. And you could actually, at that time when I was a kid, you could go in, and you could actually dip in and drink that water. Don't know that you could do that today. They eventually blocked it up, and Albany for years was known, their city was known as the artesian city down there. An artesian well requires no pump to bring it to the surface. Requires digging, yes, you have to dig down to it. But once you hit that aquifer that is under its own pressure, it just continually flows. It continually flows up. It overflows. Holy Spirit has been given to us to be freely flowing in our lives. A continual overflow of His presence. Appreciate the songs this morning by the worship team. They are just right on for the message today. I want to start in the Old Testament. Another thing Pastor Phil says and tells us is that here at Vertical, we believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are from the beginning to the end and all throughout the scriptures. So I want to go back to the Old Testament and look at some things concerning the Holy Spirit. One person in particular, but we read where the Holy Spirit would come upon judges and prophets and kings. And then every now and then, the Holy Spirit would come upon craftsmen for individual things that they were to create for the Lord. But it was just there for a season in their lives. And I want to look at David. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to pick up in verse 12. But before that, Samuel has been sent by the Lord to David's father, Jesse, to anoint someone. He said, the Lord said, I want you to go there and anoint a king. So David is there, and Jesse is bringing his sons there before him. And they list, I think, three of them. But out of the seven that he had there, Samuel said, none of them. Do you have another son? And Jesse said, yeah, he's the youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. He said, send for him. So this is where we pick up. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 through 13. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Kind of like me. Then the Lord said, I'm just kidding. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Verse 13, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Two things, from that day on and in power. The Spirit wasn't there just for a season of David's life, not just for one particular purpose, from that day on and in power. And we can see this. I believe David absolutely knew this. A lot of his psalms that he wrote testifies to this. I'm going to look at two in particular. Some psalms that we're familiar with. Psalms 23 for one. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I just want to concentrate on verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. One translation reads, my cup is fullness. Meaning it's a state of being full, is never empty. No matter what you pour out, that cup is always going to be full. And David said, my cup overflows. Now, David wasn't talking about a liquid cup or a chalice that you can pour into and it starts running over. We get that. I get that imagery. I really do. But David is talking about the presence of the Lord with him forever. The overflow is always with David because the Lord said he placed his spirit upon him from that day forward in power. Now let's look at Psalm 51. This psalm was written by David concerning after he'd been confronted by Nathan the prophet concerning his affair with Bathsheba. And David pens this Psalm 51. We're not going to, again, I want to look at some specific verses here. He's asked for repentance. He's asked for mercy from God. He's asked God to remove his transgressions, his iniquities. But look here at verse 10 and 12 of Psalm 51. Hear David's heart in this. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David could have asked for just about anything there. He could have said, don't cast me from the kingdom. Do not take my family away. Do not take my palace away. Do not take my crown away. But that's not what he asked the Lord. He said, cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I truly believe David knew, if I've got his presence, it doesn't matter what else leaves me. God can restore with his presence in my life. David knew of the anointing upon his life. We too have a promise of the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. To be with us forever and in power. Some of the songs we sang this morning was confirming that. First scripture reference of the promise that I like to read is in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Whatever nation, whatever continent, on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is what Jesus was talking about when he met the woman at the well. We're not going to read that, but that's in John chapter 4. Take the time to read that. We're going to look at John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And Pastor Phil, this is the scripture Pastor Phil mentioned several weeks ago. But this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Now I'm not going to shout it, but I got a feeling Jesus shouted this in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Spirit was placed upon certain people at certain times for certain events, for certain purposes for the kingdom of God. But now, Jesus said that pouring out is happening. The living water is Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said he would ask the Father to send to us. And we're going to look at the scriptures that support that. Now, but depending on the version that you read, we're going to have the NIV, and the Holy Spirit, they refer to as counselor, but it can be comforter. Some versions say helper. I love the word, the interpretation of helper for the Holy Spirit. I've seen his help in people's lives so many times. So for even minute purposes, I once had a situation when I was working as an electrician in Southern California. We had moved out to help start a church out there. And I was working as an electrician, and I got a late call to go to this shopping center where there was a light out in front of this store on the walkway. And believe me, the property owners and the customers do not like it to be dark. So mainly in California, there's too much chance for a lawsuit out there. There really is. People, it didn't take much. Had to give a deposition one time to say, yes, I did check that light. But I did not, I was ready, I was on my way home. I was in my truck on my way home. I get this late call. I did not want to go. And so I turn around and I'm heading that way. And I hear this from the Holy Spirit. Check the blue wire. Okay, now I knew what that meant because it was a fluorescent fixture and things have changed since then. But it was a ballast, and you've got four yellow, you got a black and a white for the power and the neutral, and then you got two reds and two blues. I said, okay, so I got my ladder out, made it back to the shopping center, got my ladder out, climbed up, opened up the fixture, opened up the metal that covered the ballast. There was two ballasts, so that means there was double everything. But I was to check the blue wire. So I went to the ends of the socket, checked one, the blue wires are there. I checked the other, one was there, one was not. Plugged it back in, light fixed, less than 3 minutes, I'm closing up and on my way home again. Holy Spirit loves to help us. He loves to help us. So let's turn to John chapter 14, a couple of verses, some scriptures there, then the 15 and the 16. So it's just like flipping the pages here. John 14, verses 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Counselor, comforter, helper, whatever translation you may have. On down to verse 25 and 26. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's there as a helper, as a counselor, as a comforter, to remind us of everything Jesus has said. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Father, Jesus is going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to me, because it's been promised by Joel in an outpouring upon us, upon all people. Now, John 16, we're going to go to verse 7 and then skip down to 12 and 16, just for time's sake here. John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Amen. Jesus goes, but not forever, because he's sending the Holy Spirit to us. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. John 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me. In the New King James translation, right there at the end, in a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. What's going to happen when he gets to the Father? He's going to send the helper, the counselor, the comforter to us. Luke 24, verse 49. Again, a declaration of the promise. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit comes, and he comes in power. He always does. Always comes in power. Now, this is where I believe the door of the promise was open to us. It was at the crucifixion. Jesus is hanging on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, we're going to look at two verses. This is where I believe we as a body, the church, there became an open heaven for us to have access to God. Just one-on-one with God. This is where it began. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Personal access to the very throne room of God was available at that moment. In the temple, there was an outer courtyard, an inner courtyard, and then the Holy of Holies, where only the sanctified priests could go in. But that curtain split from top to bottom. Access. We don't need a priest to access the Lord, to access God. Heaven is open to us, right to the very throne room of God. The promise is poured out and the overflow begins. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1. What was promised is now going to begin to come. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We could start at the Acts 1:1 and read through 8. And it kind of builds up to this. But at verse 8. says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit comes in power. Came in power upon David. Comes in power upon us and in us. Now, Acts chapter 2, probably on the same page of your Bible. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The prophecy of Joel 2 fulfilled. Poured out. It wasn't just for those in the upper room. I mean, it's poured out on all people. On me, on you. Hawassi, on you. Those online, on you. Those in this area, those all over the world, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all men. Amen? And what's the evidence of this overflow? How do we know for sure? Got a couple. The whole book of Acts testifies to what the Holy Spirit is now doing throughout the land. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver, and this is a guy sitting down, can't walk, but he's asking for alms. And this is what Peter tells him. It's Peter and John walking through. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The reason he could say that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you read on, and the man, Peter stuck out his hand, lifted him up. His knees, his legs, his ankles, everything's working. Power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. I like the depiction of this overflow. That people recognize an overflow as Peter was walking. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. That's an overflow. Overflow of the Lord's prayer. Even in our shadow, there's an overflow. The fullness and overflow had begun, and it continues to this day. One of my favorite stories in Acts is in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas have been put in prison. And they expelled in the name of Jesus, expelled a demon out of a servant girl, and all of a sudden she can't make money for her masters. And so the crowd gets upset, and Paul and Silas get locked up, not just in a regular jail cell, but deep down in the dungeon. They put in chains and stocks. And so it's a deep, dark place that they're in. But what do they do in the midst of their circumstances? What comes to them to do? Jesus sitting with them, but Holy Spirit is now with them. Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. What came out of that was they were set free. The jailer is about ready to do himself in, and Paul says, no, 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 no. Now here's the overflow. The jailer was saved. The scriptures tell us his household was saved. And as we know, Paul later writes a letter to the Philippians because there's a church from there, formed there. The overflow from that one incident formed a church there. The Philippian church. And Paul wrote Philippians to that church that was formed there. From the jailer to the family to everyone else they talked to. Overflow. Overflow. What's the evidence of the overflow in us? Two things I want to look at. And I believe I'm just scratching the surface in this. But one in particular is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Excuse me. The fruit of the Spirit. Bill mentioned this scripture when he was talking about digging deep wells. Dig deep. Dig to get all of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. A few verses down we see this. And I didn't ask this to Peter, but it's verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And there's another whole series of sermons could be just on that one scripture, right? Keeping in step with the Spirit. The overflow produces all those spiritual gifts with it. They're there. We just have to, sometimes we have to dig a little deep to find that patience. Am I right? Yeah. Sometimes we have to dig a little deep to find that gentleness of spirit. Again, those words that the translators ended in N-E-S-S, which denotes a state of being, kindness, it's a state of being that should be within us, a state of wanting to be kind, a state of wanting to be a good, a state of wanting to be faithful in all things. And it's there available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Another evidence of the overflow within us is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Mankind is what that refers to. Women, you are not left out by any means. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he directs. There's not a person here. There's not a person in Hawassee. There's not a person watching online that the living water, when you believe it, cannot just come out with the gift, specific gift that God has determined is now in you. It's now in you. It's now in you. we get to overflow in these gifts as he determines. We use them to help and serve others. We use them as I gave him as that. He loves to help us just individually. 1 Peter 4:8 says this about gifts, and this is just a general thing. He gives an example of serving and of teaching, but he says this in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. We've received it already. Received your gift already, or gifts, to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. The gift is not for me to feel good about myself. The gift is for God to be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go that I might send. When he said he would never leave us or forsake us, that's it. Holy Spirit with us forever. His presence with us forever. His fruit established in us forever. The giftings in us forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to start heading back up as I'm going to bring this to a close. I love seeing the workings of the Holy Spirit in the body. I've seen it on the mission fields so many times where Sarah and I are praying for someone, and God gives us a specific word of knowledge about an individual or a circumstance or a word of wisdom. And we're praying, and it wasn't in my thinking, but when I start praying, Holy Spirit, it's not me, Holy Spirit, here it comes. It's just flowing out. I had one particular individual in Russia we were praying for, and We were in this upper room of this big building. We had an elevator, but it did not work. So we had to walk up to the seventh floor, and they called it the upper room, the missionaries did, which I think was great. And so there are these college students there that come to Russia. They come from Nigeria and Ghana and Malaysia and some from India, to study in Kursk, Russia. And good thing about ministering to these particular college students, I didn't have to know their native language. They have to learn English to go to a Russian medical school because most of the medical books are still in English. So that was to my benefit because I could talk and we could minister to them very easily. But in that upper room, I felt like when it came time for prayer, I asked, you know, who's looking for direction and who's looking for faith for something? And so all of a sudden the room divides. I said, looking for faith over here, looking for direction over here. And it's just like everybody knew. Here goes the students dividing themselves. And I kept seeing this one guy that was, I had the direction thing, the one seeking direction. There was this one student. His name was O-T-U. And I kept seeing that his direction, it's almost like he's double-minded. So I kind of spoke that over him. It was a word of knowledge over him. And I said, you've got a decision to make. I said, you've got to trust what Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Because I could see he was kind of conflicted about it. And so after I spoke that, he said, you just don't know. He said, I've been in medical school for 2 years. He said, my parents wanted me to be an engineer, to go to school and be an engineer. They said, but I really, so I've been thinking about, I want to please them. I'm thinking of dropping out. He said, but I know I'm supposed to be a doctor. So he thanked me, you know, for pointing that out and telling him, because I told him at one point, you're going to come and you're going to turn a corner. Just make sure it's the right direction. And he did. He stayed in medical school. Great doctor. All of what has been given us of Holy Spirit flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's where it comes from. It's where it starts. Our relationship with Him. Again, what Jesus was talking about in John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. I love that flow. I love that guidance the Holy Spirit gives me, the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the help he gives me. Who wouldn't want that? Amen. The floodgates of heaven, we sang that song today. The floodgates of heaven opened up that day in the upper room we read about in Acts 2. We have and continue to be filled to overflowing with Holy Spirit who is within. We overflow. Holy Spirit is free flowing just like an artesian well. No pump is necessary. Just believe and receive. I want to close in a prayer and like to ask the ministry teams, the prayer teams, to come up and take their place. I'll probably be down over here somewhere. My wife, Sarah, may join me. But if there's anything you need prayer for, maybe you're saying, hey, I need healing. Let's pray. Holy Spirit's here. He's in the healing business. Maybe it's a situation or a circumstance. I need decisions. I need a helper to help me. Let me tell one more story. This is local. I'm not going to name names. But there's an individual I was talking to a couple weeks ago. And they said, I've got to get all these papers together for my lawyer. I don't know. I'm not even sure I can find the box that the papers are in. So she asked God, show me. The Holy Spirit took her to the box. Out of all these boxes, took her to the box. Now, in the box were all these legal papers she needed to get to a lawyer. She said, well, which ones? Do I take the whole box? The Holy Spirit said, start just picking the papers up. You don't need that one. Set it aside. Yes, take that one. Yes, yes. She got to the lawyer because she was listening to the Holy Spirit, to the helper. The lawyer said, you have brought exactly what I needed. That's the God we serve. That's the God that open heaven is there for us to have access to the helper. Now he flows within. Amen. I believe this to be a prophetic prayer the Lord gave me. I just want to pray this, and then we'll go into a time of ministry and let the worship team lead us into this time of prayer and ministry. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, through Holy Spirit power, fill our minds with the things you would have us think about. Fill our ears with what you would have us hear. Fill our eyes with what you would have us see. Fill our lips and tongues and mouths with what you would have us speak. Fill our feet with the courage to go where you would have us to go. Fill our hands with a desire and obedience to take hold of the plow, not look back, and to do what you have called us to do. Fill our lives with your Holy Spirit that we may be so in tune to do all this for your kingdom purposes and for your kingdom glory. Amen.